Hi, it's Charlie Connolly here. I write every week in the New European on books and literature and great European lives. If you'd like to enjoy more from the New European, you can join us by subscribing at theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. That's theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. Great European Lives from the New European. Joseph Bologne, Chevalier de Saint-Georges, 25th of December 1745 to the 12th of June 1799. On the 9th of April 1787, at the behest of the Prince of Wales, an unusual fencing match took place in London between Mademoiselle Dion, a French former diplomat and spy, who lived as a woman for decades, and Joseph Bologne, Chevalier de Saint-Georges, one of Europe's finest fencers of the age. The novelty of a lady in petticoats engaging the most able and experienced master of the noble science of defence excited universal pleasantry. Even such as had formerly known her en culotte were not a little surprised at the skill she showed at fencing with Mr. Saint-Georges, wrote a spectator afterwards. Strange as it sounds, the Mademoiselle, who had variously fought as a soldier during the Seven Years' War and lived in Empress Elizabeth of Russia's court as a woman, was the least remarkable of the two combatants. Her opponent was a man who lived an extraordinary life in extraordinary circumstances. Joseph Bologne wrote 3 string quartets, 2 symphonies, 6 comic operas, 3 violin sonatas and 14 violin concertos that are still performed more than 200 years after his death. He was one of the finest violinists of an era that produced more than its fair share of virtuosi, was regarded as the best fencer in Europe, and was a leading light of the campaign to abolish slavery in Britain and France. He performed for and with European royalty, and drew considerable crowds to the concert halls and fencing pistes of the continent's highest capitals of culture. John Adams, the President of the United States, described Bologne as the most accomplished man in Europe. Yet there's still a strong chance you've never heard of him. The reason why can possibly be found in an item that appeared in British newspapers during December 1786 that noted how Saint-Georges was superior at the sword and praised his peerless abilities as a dancer. He plays 7 instruments beyond any individual in the world, it gushed, and speaks 26 languages, maintaining public theses in each. Then came the payoff. He walks around the various sciences like the master of each, it read. And strange to be mentioned to white men, this Monsieur Saint-Georges is a mulatto, the son of an African mother. To this day, Joseph Bologne is more often than not referred to as the Black Mozart, when by rights his achievements deserve neither qualification nor comparison. He lived through some of Europe's most tumultuous times, often finding himself at the heart of them, overcoming a range of obstacles to succeed in a range of fields. If the polymath traditionally struggles to achieve the respect they deserve, a black polymath in late 18th century Europe had to struggle more than most. Bologne was born on Christmas Day 1745 at Basse-Terre on the island of Guadeloupe in the Caribbean Sea. His father was Georges de Boulogne Saint-Georges, a 34-year-old slaver and plantation owner, and his mother Anne, a 16-year-old slave in the service of Georges's wife. Unusually for a time when slaves of African descent were regarded by their owners as savages, Georges was not only willing to acknowledge his paternal responsibility, but act upon it too. When Joseph was 7 years old, his father took him to France and placed him in a boarding school, returning 2 years later with Anne and installing mother and son in an apartment in the Saint-Germain district of Paris. Bologna showed early promise as a violinist, harpsichordist, and particularly as a fencer. Entering the elite fencing academy of Nicolas de la Boissière at 13, and emerging 6 years later as a swordsman so accomplished, he became a member of the King's Guard, given the title Chevalier de Saint-Georges. Agile, intelligent, and skilful, he was the most highly sought-after name at fencing events on both sides of the English Channel, rarely allowing opponents to even score a hit, let alone win a match. Yet it would be as a musician and composer that Bologna would make his name. By 1769, he had become such an accomplished violinist with the Parisian orchestra Le Concert des Amateurs that he was elevated to concertmaster. 3 years later, he became a soloist, and in 1773, Bologna was appointed director of the orchestra. The influential L'Almanach Musical wrote in 1775 that the orchestra under Bologna's direction was the best orchestra for symphonies in Paris and perhaps in Europe. His own brilliance as a performer was such that leading contemporary composers wrote violin concertos specifically for him, and he filled concert halls and salons wherever he went, often performing his own compositions. Before long, he was tutoring, performing for, and performing with Marie Antoinette at the palace in Versailles. He became so distinguished he was able to commission 6 symphonies from the great Joseph Haydn. A 1789 performance of one of his own violin concertos in England inspired one attendee to write, "His style is masterly and brilliant, superior to that of any gentleman in this country." It wasn't all plain sailing. On the same visit to England, he was confronted in the street by a man armed with a pistol demanding his valuables. When Bologna disarmed the man, according to one report, 4 more rogues hidden until then attacked him, and he put them all out of commission. Monsieur de Saint-Georges received only some contusions, which did not keep him from going on that night to play music in the company of friends. It's probable that this was an assassination attempt at the behest of supporters of the slave trade. Bologna was crisscrossing the Channel regularly at that time, partly to perform concerts and recitals, but mostly to lend his support to the increasingly powerful anti-slavery lobby in England. He met regularly with abolitionists like William Wilberforce and John Wilkes, and assisted in translating British abolitionist pamphlets into French for the Société des Amis des Noirs, the Society of Friends of Black People, that he'd helped to establish in France. When revolution broke out in 1789, Bologna, despite his aristocratic connections, immediately sided with the revolutionaries. In the Manifesto of the Revolution, he saw a perfect opportunity to end both the French slave trade and the inequalities and injustices experienced by black people in France. For all that he'd raised himself to the highest echelons of French society, there were always barriers and humiliations. As a black man, he was barred from inheriting his father's titles, and forbidden to marry a woman from the higher classes. Hence the revolutionary promise of equal rights for all trumped any connection he felt to the aristocracy and his noble friends and colleagues, including his patron, the Duc d'Orléans, who had set Bologna up with an apartment in the Palais Royal, as well as providing him with a comfortable stipend. When the revolution broke out, Bologna was living in Lille, where he became one of the first to volunteer for the new Garde Nationale. He took to military activity with the same ease with which he'd taken to music and fencing, and by 1792 he was a colonel in command of the 1,000-strong Légion Franche de Cavalerie des Américains et du Midi, the first regiment of any European army to be made up entirely of black soldiers. So successful was he as a leader that before long the unit became known simply as the Légion de Saint-Georges. Despite leading his troops with distinction, Bologna's extracurricular musical activities, he even formed a small orchestra of military men, contributed to accusations that he was not giving the revolution his fullest attention. In November 1793, he was arrested under the new French law of suspects and imprisoned without charge as part of the Great Terror, until, after almost a year, the Committee of Public Safety found that Bologna had been removed without cause. He was released from prison, but would never regain his command. It must have come as some consolation that while he was in prison, the National Convention abolished slavery in the French colonies. But for all his achievements, for all his brilliance in music, fencing, and as a military leader, Joseph Bologna was blighted by prejudice throughout his life. He reached the highest levels of French society and consorted with princes when he visited England, but there was always something preventing his complete acceptance. Tropes that are still familiar today were whispered behind his back and sometimes expressed openly, such as this snippet from the Times in September 1789, referring to his conduct on the fencing piste. Monsieur Saint-Georges acquired his war whoop in excursions against the Cherubi Indians, it said entirely inaccurately of his occasional exuberant yelps during fencing encounters. It may be a very proper accompaniment for a tomahawk or scalping knife, but it surely is very unbecoming in the elegant exercise of the sword. Never mind that he composed some of the most exquisite violin concertos ever written. To the ignorant, he would always be a savage. Great European Lives is brought to you by The New European. It's written and presented by Charlie Connolly, and the series producer is Steve Anglesey.